But thank God that we have chosen to be here, and that's the best part, being here in the house of God, worshiping Him, and pretty much learning more about His Word and principles that can help us have a better 2015. How many of you had a good 2014? Hey. Yeah, I had a good 2014. It was great, awesome, lots of blessings, and you just realize that God is good, and you just don't sing it. You actually experience it in your life. God is so good to us that there's no way we can ever repay everything He does for us in our daily lives. How His providence just moves and lets you know that even though you don't see Him, you cannot touch Him, yet He is there working wonders in your life, regardless of whatever you go through in life, whether sickness, whether losing a loved one, it doesn't matter. God is always with us. So tonight, the best is yet to come. 2015, we had a good year this year, 2014, but I believe we can all have a better 2015 and better than 2014 and just continue to build on that based on our obedience to God and His Word. So we're going to get some principles from different Psalms in order for us to be able to have a better 2015. And we're going to start with the first one. Number one, do not follow the wicked. Remember that first lesson that we had, keys to being successful and how the wicked influences the whole world through songs, through TV, through the media in general, and all those things that the wicked do in order to get you as a Christian out of your track, which is the track that takes you to heaven, the straight and narrow way. They want you to come to the wide way. And there's all kinds of things that they do in order to entice you to join them. But as Christians, we need to always keep in mind that we are to please God and not hang out with the wicked. I was listening to the radio the other day, and again, I believe it's getting a little bit harder for Christians to socialize with other people in the world at a normal level, thanks to all the garbage that is floating around on the radio. There's a song I was listening, and I was like, paying attention to it. It got done, and the DJ and all of them that were with him were agreeing with him. And they were saying, and I just don't believe why people don't agree with us. The name of the song was, I Like Us Better When We're Wasted. What do you think about that?
When we what?
Wasted.
Wasted?
Drunk. In other words, you have to be drunk to like each other. What kind of person says, I cannot believe people don't agree with us? If you think you need a drink to have life, if you think you need to get drunk or do drugs or go out nightclubbing and all of those things to have a meaningful life, then you have the wrong perspective in life. You need to make sure you do not follow the wicked in that regard. There's a lot of things. I was telling you about the girl that was singing that she needs to stay high all the time to forget about the guy. Guess what? She had another song that says, I'm not on drugs, I'm just in love. So kind of contradicting herself right there. She needs to get high to forget about the guy, but then when she's in love, she's not on drugs, she's just in love. And all that sort of thing that the wicked pretty much have in our society is pretty much, I guess, covered in all those things that as Christians we need to be careful. It is easy for a Christian to slip away. Even those that think they stand, the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. We're not exempt from being tempted. Of course, being tempted is not a sin. It's yielding to temptation. What's a sin? But if you follow the wicked and you follow their advice and you do all the things or engage in activities that they engage in, then what's going to happen? Obviously, the Lord is not going to bless you. And obviously, you're on the path where you will be corrupted, spiritually speaking. Good companions are good for us, but evil companions, the Bible says, corrupt good morals. So we need to keep in mind that as Christians, we are not to follow the wicked. Our teenagers need to be encouraged. They're having the hardest time Especially nowadays where high school is filled with kids that they don't want to know about God. They don't want to know about their creator. They make fun of Jesus. They make fun of them if they go to church. Some of the, I guess, nicknames that they will have just to mock me. There goes the hallelujah guy. And that's like, you know, what's the point of making fun of somebody because of what they believe? And now it's getting stronger and stronger every day. Kids are getting mocked, and some of them, their faith wavers because of that. And as mature adults, mature spiritually people that we are, we need to set the example in order for our youth to take courage and pretty much be able to withstand all the attacks of the wicked. We need to make sure we are ready in order for us to refute all those things. I don't usually recommend movies, especially religious movies, because there's always this thing about accepting Jesus into your heart and all of that. But if you want to refute the wicked, try to work a little bit on apologetics, how to defend your faith. The Bible exhorts us in Jude verse 3 that we need to contend for the faith once and for all delivered unto the saints. And one of the things that can help us is Apologetics Press. They have a lot of material there, Christian Courier. They also have a lot of material there that can help us fortify our faith, if you would. There's a book that is titled Fortify Your Faith. And that can actually help us withstand that. And concerning the movie, God is Not Dead. Who has watched that movie? You have. Was it good?
Pretty good.
Overall, it was good. Do as I would accept Jesus into your heart and do away with the other things, the concerts, so-called Christian concerts, and a lot of erroneous ideas. But overall, the principle is there. Keep your faith, believe in God, and if you have to stand up for what you believe, do so. What has happened over the years when we have been confronted about believing in God? What's the stand most Christians take?
We
don't do anything, right? It's a passive stand. And we need to make sure we take an active stand. I was listening to a radio station, Moody 89.3, here in Florida. I'm not sure what station would be in another state. But they were saying that the Baptists were taking a stand against the Supreme Court. And that was a while ago, I think about a year ago, if I'm not mistaken, that they were trying to talk to the Supreme Court because they were tired that the Supreme Court was always accusing Christians, in the loose sense of the word, obviously, that we hate homosexuals. We don't hate homosexuals. We just teach what the Bible teaches concerning homosexuality and what God's stand is on homosexuality. But the attitude that people have is to accuse Christians that we are homophobics or that we just hate homosexuals. Do we hate homosexuals? We don't. God hates the sin, not the sinner. And Christians, we do not hate the sinner. We just hate the sin. But we just got to tell people like it is. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We need to try to take a stand and not go with the wicked. Because if we go with the wicked, then we'll be just like them. And pretty much we will be follow them like blind leaders follow, you know, or guide the blind. Do not follow the wicked. You want to have success in 2015? Do not follow the wicked. Next, memorize God's word. How many verses do you know by memory? 1, 2, 3. We can all use some help. We can always leave room for improvement. And I was looking at various books concerning memorizing. And don't believe the ones that tell you can memorize the entire Bible in 1 year. It's not going to happen. Unless you're a genius, it's not going to happen. But there's a book that Bible Memory Made Easy, I think it's titled, where it tells you to take baby steps. 1 or 2 verses a week. Is that difficult to do? Is that impossible to do? To some, I guess it may be. We don't all have the intellectual ability to retain things, but you know, we can memorize at least 1 verse a week. How many verses will be per year? 52. If you are brave enough and you do 1 verse per day, which I know a lot of people that do 8, at least when they were young, Brother Robert Taylor Jr., I mentioned him, that he always refreshes Psalm 119 on the month of February and pretty much, you know, quotes it by memory. Or he used to be able to do so in a very proficient way back when he was younger. Obviously, as you get older, it is kind of hard to retain certain things. Sometimes, you know, I'm not even 40 yet, and it's hard to remember certain things sometimes, and you're pick up the saying, oh, I just had a senior moment. But, you know, it is what it is. But we need to try to memorize God's word. There was an illustration for those perhaps that are older that say, how do I memorize God's word? Or how do I do it? I cannot memorize it. I just read the word. And I don't remember how the illustration goes, but it was supposedly an older lady that couldn't retain the verses. And the sister that was teaching the class pretty much encouraged her by saying, well, it's like having a basket and there are dirty rocks. And you take that basket and you plunge it in the river. You know, once again, you pull it out and it's cleaning the rocks. You go again, you plunge it in the river, take it out, and it's cleaning again. And it's pretty much, if you're not able to retain the word because of your age, then at least by reading the Bible, by reading the word of God, it will continually cleanse you because you are exposed to the word of God. It's like when you expose certain garments to bleach. What happens when your garments become come in contact with bleach? They whiten, you know, they become whiter and whiter. Of course, we're talking about spiritual bleach. The natural bleach, I guess, that we use, if you expose it too much, is going to get yellow, not really white as snow. But the spiritual bleach, the word of God, that's pretty much going to cleanse you. And if you are able to memorize it, you know, it's going to do wonders in your life. You're not going to wonder anymore, where is that verse at? Or I don't remember where this verse is found and things of that nature. You will actually recall where the verses are found. And just a few tips. You don't need to memorize it word for word. At least memorize the concept. God is love. Christ died for us. That's how I learned some of the scriptures when I was a kid. You see children's classes, they don't memorize everything word for word. You know, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. That's it. You know, simple, the main concept of the verse, that can be one thing to memorize the word of God. But it is important that we memorize the word of God and keep it in our heart. But in order for you to do that, 1 Timothy 4:13, I like the Spanish version, which literally reads in English, and probably the Greek, but I'm not sure. But in English, it says, get busy with the reading of the scriptures. That's the way it's worded in Spanish. In English, it says, give diligence. So when you are diligent about something, then you get busy with the reading of the scriptures. And if you want to memorize, you must read first. So it is important to read the word of God. Number two, keep God's word. Will it help you to know the Bible from cover to cover if you are not a doer of the word? Nope. You will be deceiving yourself. And it is sad to see many Christians or to know many Christians who pretty much live a double life. One foot in the world, one foot in the church. And what happens to those Christians? The word says in James 1:22 all the way through verse 25 that they are deceiving themselves. You know, they think they know it all. They think they have it made, but they are deceiving themselves. They come to church. They go through the motions, perhaps a couple of ounces of grape juice Sunday morning, the piece of unleavened bread, give some money to the church. They sing to the Lord. They go through the motions. They have it made, right? They have soothed their conscience. And then they go back into the world, and there is not one iota of difference between them and their co-workers, them and their neighbors, them and the rest of the world. It is sad to actually see Christians that don't keep the word of God. But it's not all lost. It doesn't have to be that way. When we actually love God, then we have the attitude of David, Psalm 119 and verse 11. In my heart, I have treasured your word, or I have kept your word, that I may not sin against you. In chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, also talks about that. But we need to keep the word of God. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And that will pretty much help you during your 2015. If you tried that this year and it went well for you, try it again next year. You'll see, it'll be better. It doesn't mean you're not going to encounter trials. It doesn't mean you're not going to encounter circumstances that challenge your faith. We all encounter those. It's a given. Yea, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. It doesn't matter what you face in life. Pretty much, you need to keep God's word and you will be prospered. You will be like that tree planted by the waters. And in everything that you do, you will be prospered by God. But you need to keep the word of God. You cannot expect, brethren, God to bless you if you're not really trying. At least try. You know, many have given up and they are content, as I said in second lesson, I believe, they're content with wearing a mask. That's it. We cannot get to heaven by wearing a mask and be content with, okay, here I'm this faithful Christian, and how are you, brother? I love you, this and that, and then just not keeping God's word. It is possible for someone to know the word of God and yet just live a lie, not keep it. Again, another movie, out of curiosity, I watched it. Nicolas Cage was in it, Left Behind. Everybody's familiar with those novels, right? It's under the science fiction. It's fiction. It's not real. But it's Left Behind, and it's a religious movie that talks about how we're all going to be snatched away, and pretty much one will be taken away, the other one will be left behind. That's where the title comes for the movie. And even though it's full of error, and I don't condone the main message of the movie, what does Paul say? Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And there was this girl that thought her mom was crazy for being religious, and all of a sudden when the rapture happened and everything, she was looking for her mother, looking for her brother that instantly disappeared from her eyes, and she went to church to kind of talk to God about the things that were going on and how she was feeling. And all of a sudden, guess who she finds there? The preacher. And she's like, so can you explain to me what's happening? Well, they're all in heaven, you know, because the people were raptured and they were taken to heaven. It's like, I don't understand. Well, what are you doing here? And he's like, well, I knew the words. I could quote him book, chapter, and verse. But you have to believe, the preacher would say. In other words, believe, obey the word, and do what God says. But, you know, I guess being the preacher, he got left behind because he was not keeping the word of God. So is it important to keep the word of God? Yes. Is it important to read it and memorize it? Yes. But again, obedience is better than everything else you could do in life. To obey is better than to sacrifice, the word of God says. So keep the word of God, and it'll help you prosper in life. Number four, no matter what happens, put your trust in God. Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 through 5, 34, verse 8 and 19. Trust in God. My mother was certainly not counting on her dad dying this year. And then a month later, her mother dying this year. I'm talking about my grandfather and my grandmother. November 29th, my grandfather passed away of this year. And then December 29th of this year, my grandmother passed away. My mother was not counting. She's back home in El Salvador. She was not counting on those things, but it happened. Yeah, but one of the things that she was content with is the fact that God is in control, and she knew that my grandmother was suffering through various illness, that my grandfather had heart problems, and so that's the best that could happen, she said. The only thing she regrets, and one of the things that I regret too, is that they were not Christians. That right there hurts me. Not the fact that they passed away from this world, because that's the rule of life. It is set in stone for man to die once, and after that, judgment. The good thing is when somebody's a Christian, you don't have to fear judgment. But when somebody's not a Christian, it doesn't matter if the Assemblies of God went to my grandmother and they told her, oh, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And she said, yes, and all of that. It doesn't matter all those things. It doesn't matter the emotions that people try to play with whenever somebody finds themselves in difficult times. You know, what matters is what the Word of God says. And my mother was content in the fact that my grandmother was not suffering physically, but then again, she was just, well, God is in control. She had her chances, and she just never became a Christian, and that's not her problem. She tried, but then when you try, that's all you can do. You know, that's all you can do. And I'm just glad that my mom got converted, and she's trying, and that's all you and I can do, is try to live a righteous life, and no matter what happens, put your trust in God. Whether you lose your job, put your trust in God. Don't go out shooting people just because, oh, I lost my job and I feel guilty and I feel desperate and I don't know what happens. You know, that's it. You know, find another job. It's hard with the economy, but, you know, a lot of people do a lot of things and then we get into the mind games that the media plays and what happens? We just lose sight of what's really important. Placing our trust in God no matter what happens. He is there for us. He will pretty much supply all of our needs. And He's God. You know, He's the Creator. He owns everything in this world. And we need to keep in mind that trusting Him is better than trusting our next door neighbor or the guy in the news or the meteorologist, for that matter. They said we had a cold front coming in yesterday, but it was like 81 degrees. But it's nice weather, you know. The promised land here in Florida always gives us good weather, even during cold days. Sorry for those who live in Texas. But then you hear in Texas, oh, well, that's Texas weather. And then I'm like, well, that's Florida's weather, because the weather changes a lot. It doesn't matter what the meteorologists say. Anyway, do not let your anger get out of control and avoid anxiety. Psalm 37 and verse 8. Is it a sin to get angry? No, right? We're all entitled to get angry or upset, however you want to call it. God got upset. I was trying to say I need to remember this verse, at least the citation, and I related it, thank heaven there's 7-Eleven. So look up Psalm 7-Eleven. You know, you will read that God was angry or is angry at the wicked, especially nowadays, how the wicked are. God was angry at Solomon. God was angry at Israel. Jesus was angry at the Pharisees. You know, and I'm sure Jesus is angry at a lot of Christians that claim affiliation to Christianity, and they're just twisting the word of God. God is angry. We are entitled to get angry. But what's the advice that the Scripture gives us? Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. That's the key right there. You can get upset. You can get angry. You're human. Jesus got upset, right? But don't sin, because that's where the problems come. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Husbands and wives, you know, if you got angry at each other, happens, marriages. But don't go to sleep and then just let that anger carry away. And the next day, well, you know, I'm still angry. I'm not going to cook for him. And, well, she's angry. I'm not going to give her a ride to the store. And things like that. You know, don't let those things get carried away. Be angry and do not sin. We will encounter brethren in the church that will make us angry. But again, be angry and do not sin. Try to, as much as it's in you, like Romans says, try to make peace with everybody. And you'll see that anger will get dissipated in the way. So, next, be wise when you speak. Oof, I'm way behind here. There we go. Be wise when you speak. How did it go? Light travels faster than sound. That's why a lot of people look so bright when you first look at them, but when you hear them speak, it's a total different story. So be wise when you speak, especially knowing whom you're representing. Who are you representing? Obama? Clinton? Who? Christ. We are representing Christ. Therefore, we need to be wise when we speak. Psalm 37 and verse 30. There's a Proverbs, Proverbs 10 verse 21. I'd like for us to read that one. I jotted that one down because it was really a good proverb. Somebody can read it. That'll be great. Proverbs 10:21.
The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die.
For lack of wisdom. All right. What does that verse say to you? If you are wise in your speech, then you will feed many, whether it's with the message of salvation for people's soul. But if you are a fool, then you lack wisdom pretty much. Die for lack of wisdom. A lot of people get in trouble. Why? Because their mouth gets them in trouble. You know, that's the issue. Even with Christians, sometimes we get in trouble because we say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and we offend our brothers or our sisters, and we need to be careful. That's why being wise when you speak can help you in many aspects of life. It can help you at your job. You know, when you're dealing with a difficult boss or supervisor, being wise when you speak can help you. In your marriage, it can help you. Be wise when you talk to your wife. Be wise when you talk to your husband. You know, it's a two-way thing. You know, it's not a matter of, well, he's got to do it or she's got to do it. Both of them have to do it. Be wise when you talk to your friends or your relatives. You know, you need to be wise in what you say. Remember that by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Verse is not there, or yes, yes it is. Matthew 12:34-37. And if you have a good heart, then good things and wise things will come out of your heart. Then, number 7, pay your debts, lest you be considered a wicked. The wicked borrows and pays not. Psalm 37 and verse 21. If you owe the IRS money, talk to the IRS. A lot of people in the world, especially those that don't pay the IRS, they have the misconception, or they spread the misconception, oh, the IRS will get you, they will take your bank account, they will do this. Talk to the IRS, you know. They will be willing to work with you. If you can set up a payment plan, they will be willing to do that with you. I had to do it 1 year, and I'm still waiting to hear from them because they're working out that identity theft issue that they had in 2010 and in 2011. A lot of people's identities and social security were stolen. And then by the time you filed taxes, you had all these different jobs in all different states. And then all those are added to the real you, and the IRS sends you the bill. And you're like, wait a minute, I never owe the IRS this much. And what happens? You go, start checking, find out. You go to the IRS office, and they say, well, is this you? Yeah. Have you lived at this address? Yeah. Did you work here? Did you work there? Did you work? And the answer is no. And obviously they say, well, identity theft is one of the worst things that can happen to you, but the IRS is willing to work with you. And then if you owe a little bit of money, pay it. If you owe your creditors, pay them. Credit cards are the new creditors or lenders that we have. And it's easy to swipe the plastic and get what you want right now and pay for it later. But notice what Proverbs 22 verse 7 says. If somebody will read that, Proverbs 22 verse 7. It's an interesting verse.
The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender.
Servant. When you owe the credit card companies and they're calling for collection, what happens? I know a lot of people, they don't even want to answer their cell phone. They see an unknown caller, and I'm like, well, how come you're not answering? Nah, they probably want to collect that money or whatever. You know, it takes away from your sleep. Don't do that. A lot of people, especially in marriages, they say that one of the main reasons why couples have arguments is because of financial issues. And here, one of the advice Psalms gives us is pay your debts, lest you be considered a wicked. plan your finances. Have a budget. It's easy to get financial help from different places, and even from the Bible, you can learn principles that can help you manage your money better and live within your means. It is important for us Christians to owe nobody anything but to love one another. And that's the only thing we should owe people. Love one another. But we have to pay our taxes and we have to pay everything. I remember teaching a class on Romans 13 and the government and paying taxes. One of the sisters says, "Oh, we really have to pay taxes?" And like, "Yes, we do. Give or render unto Caesar what's Caesar's and to God what belongs to God." So we need to pay our debts, or else, you know, we'll be slaves to the one that lends us money. Next, improve your attendance to worship services. How many people struggle to make it to services Sunday evening? It's Sunday morning, like all the pews are full, right? Almost all of them. And then Sunday evening, where is everybody? The rapture, right? No? I guess we got left behind here worshiping God, but improve your attendance. You know, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go unto the house of Jehovah." Psalm 122, verse 1. So improve your attendance, and that'll help you to try more to fellowship your brethren. It is important that we fellowship more. How many of you will be staying at least for some period of time after this lesson is over? You will be staying, you will be staying, you will be staying. Then what's the excuse for others? "I already have plans." Right? I mean, you're entitled to have plans. I'm not saying no. I'm not saying, "Oh, you will go to hell because you're not staying." But 2015, try to fellowship your brethren more. There's an old preacher that I was listening to one time, and he says, "Some brethren in the church need to get down or come down from the cloud they're in and mingle with other brethren." Because there are brethren, he says, that walk with high heels, meaning that they are kind of prideful and arrogant, and they think they're better than the others, and that's why they don't want to mingle with the other, you know, I guess, humble brethren. So it is important that we try to fellowship our brethren. "Behold, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Psalm 133, verse 1, 2, and 3, the entire psalm, actually. So fellowship your brethren. Strive to do it more. I'm sure there will be a lot of activities and opportunities in 2015 in this church. So take advantage of those to fellowship your brethren more. Always give thanks to God. Don't wait till Thanksgiving. A lot of people say, "Oh, it's Thanksgiving. We got to give thanks to God." What happened in your birthday if it was before Thanksgiving? What happened if some major good event or bad event happened before Thanksgiving? As Job put it, I think, "Shall we receive only what's good from God and not what's bad, what troubles us?" You know, we receive all kinds of things, and for everything that we receive in life, we should be thankful to God. Next ones, they're no-brainers. Pray without ceasing. Give God the first place in your home. Make sure you instill the fear of God in your kids' hearts. And your husband, help your wife get to heaven. Wife, help the husband get to heaven. And that way everybody can be in heaven. There's no, "I don't like you, and, you know, we'll see you in heaven." No, we got to like each other. At least try and attempt. And that way we'll be better children of God, and the homes will be a better place. A home, as Brother Wendell Winkler put it, is a piece of heaven here on earth. If you have a Christ-centered home, where Christ rules your home, and there is no "I'm the man" or "you're the woman" and everybody just fighting for who's the boss. If Christ is the boss, pretty much your home will be a little slice of heaven here on earth. Ask God to help you overcome sin. Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14, David did it. And then share God with other people, and make sure if you die, you die a saint. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. What happens with those that die outside the Lord? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there will be no second chances, as I was taught in the Pentecostal church. well, once the rapture comes, you know, just don't let the Antichrist put the 666 here or on your forehead and just take the punishment and the lashing and all of that, and you'll be able to make it to heaven. That's the second chance theory that I was taught. But then as I read the Bible, I didn't find it there. So it was all a fairy tale. They make movies out of that. But we need to make sure that when we die a saint and live 2015 every single day of it as if it was your last day here on earth, pleasing God. Well, I'm going to set my mind, please God today. You pleased him. You did your best. What happens? The next day, the same thing. And what happens if the third day you die? At least you were doing the will of God. You were striving to please him, and your reward will be waiting for you. But remember that if you die, make sure you die a saint, because precious is in the sight of the Lord the death of his saints. If you're not one of his saints, then I'm sorry for you, but it's not going to be pretty in eternity. So with those 15 principles, make sure you make your 2015 year a wonderful year. And if God is with you, who can be against you? God bless you, brethren.